It really is a privilege to be here this morning. I don't take that lightly. Whenever I'm sharing a message for a church, I do count that as a real privilege to be here. And I really enjoyed the men's breakfast yesterday. You made me feel very welcome. And ladies, you can be very proud of your men. As a visitor, I didn't detect any belching, barfing, or blowing off. They were good. And it was a great time, and I really enjoyed being there, and thank you for making me feel so welcome. So this morning, before I actually get into what I want to share this morning, I was spending some time with Jesus saying, Lord, is there anything specific prophetically that you're wanting to say to the church here? And as I was doing that, Jesus took me up to a bird's eye view of your church building here. And as I looked down, I saw an angel, a large angel, and he was chained. And I said, Lord, what is this mean? And he said, this is the angel for this church, and the angel has been bound by religiosity. And I said, as I was watching, I saw the chains breaking. And then the angel standing erect and starting to flex his muscles. And I said, Lord, what's this? And Jesus said, the chains have been broken off this angel, and he is now flexing his muscles, getting ready for battle. And I felt God say that the time is coming where the angels of God are going to be fighting for you, and you're coming into a season of breakthrough. Where there have been times in the past where you've tried to do things, where you've tried to actually see things happen, and you've met walls and it's stopped. But God is saying there is coming a season now where you'll be experiencing breakthrough, where in the past you've tried to do things and it hasn't happened, now it's going to happen. Yeah. So I really do pray for that to blessing to be on this church, that you come into that season of breakthrough. And on... Tim, do you mind if I share a word for you? Is that okay? So, on Monday night, as I was praying about coming down here, the Lord said, I want you to share this word to someone called Tim. Now, I couldn't, my apologies, I couldn't remember you at the time, but then as we came to the men's breakfast, I said, so that's who it is. And so what I believe God wants you to know is that you've been held back by fear. That there's been a situation, or there's been a sense that fear has been limiting your future. But God wants you to know that He knows the passion in your heart. He knows the desire that what you want to see, and He says it's now time to step out from behind fear and walk into the experience that He's called you into. And He says that you are a man who is He's set apart to lead the church into breakthrough. That the Spirit of God is on you, and you're going to see people released and set free into new experiences in the Spirit because the power of God is on you, and don't let fear limit your future. Cool. Hopefully that's encouraging. Okay, when you've been a Christian for a while, and I've been a Christian now for over 40 years, you get to see trends that the Spirit of God seems to be doing in the churches. And the trend that I've noticed of late is that God is really wanting to raise up a generation who understand who they are in God, who they are in Christ. That He's really wanting to raise up a people who know their identity. And you see sermons all over the place which are talking about identity and dealing with issues. And you know, God even had to do this with Jesus. If you remember when He went with John the Baptist and got baptized, as He came up out of the water, God spoke to Him and said, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. Speaking identity into Jesus. Then what happened? 40 days He went into the wilderness. And at the end of that time, He was tempted by the devil. And in those temptations, and you can go back and look at what they were, three different areas, but it was actually testing Jesus to see, do you believe what God said about you? Or were they just words? and making that reality. And the same is with us. We need to actually believe what God says about us. And I shared this at the men's breakfast yesterday. One of my favorite phrases at the moment is that it is essential that we believe in Jesus to get to heaven. You get that? Most of you here are probably believers. If you aren't, I really encourage you to talk to someone after the service. But it's essential that we believe in Jesus to get to heaven, but it's also essential that we believe like Jesus to bring heaven down to earth. Does that make sense? Okay, and that is our identity that is shaped by our belief. And God is actually working on the belief of believers, to make us more Christ-like in the way that we act and what we do, in our confidence and in our authority. And one of the best ways for seeing that happen is by hearing God speak. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And there's a verse that I'd read many, many times, which is coming up on the screen right now, which says from John chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." How many have read that many times? Okay. And I'd read that verse and I think, okay, so that's what the Bible says. It wasn't my experience. You know, hearing God speak regularly and frequently is the birthright of every believer. It's the birthright of every believer, but for many believers, this isn't normal. Hearing God speak occasionally happens. We all sort of felt God draw us actually into a relationship with Him. But on a regular, frequent basis, many Christians would say, that just isn't my reality. And yet the Bible says, this is what we own. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. It's a continually happening thing. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said something else. He said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." So living on bread alone is the way that many of us have tended to survive, where we just, you know, we will get up in the morning, we will have breakfast, we'll go to work, we'll have lunch, finish work, come home, have tea, spend some time with the family, maybe watch Netflix, go to bed, get up and do the same thing. That's living on bread alone. Perhaps we fit in some exercise as well. But that is normal life. And Jesus doesn't want us just to live normal. He said, what we really need to do is live on every word that comes out from the mouth of God. And this is kingdom living. It shifts our beliefs. It shifts our identity. It actually takes us into a whole transformed way of living, where no longer is it that we get up and have breakfast and go to work. We may still do those things, but there's a whole new focus where Jesus is speaking to us and we can release His kingdom into wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And as I said, for many years, hearing God speak regularly and frequently wasn't my normal. It would happen occasionally, but certainly not on a daily occurrence. And perhaps you're like that this morning. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time and you can share instances when God has certainly revealed things to you or spoken to you about a specific situation. But apart from that, your relationship with God seems to be a bit one-sided. You know, you'll spend a lot of time praying, but you're not hearing so much back. And if that's you, then hopefully today you'll pick up some tips which will change that for you. And I want to start this morning by sharing my wife Denise's story. So Denise and I have been married for 33 years last February, so we've been together for a while now. She's a lovely woman. I really appreciate having her as my wife. But For years, Denise has been frustrated that she doesn't seem to encounter God. She doesn't think she hears God speak and isn't really sure if she speaks in tongues, for instance. And this frustrates her immensely, especially when she sees other people having great experiences in God. And she's been prayed for many times. She's had theophostic, prayer ministry type things. She's gone to lots of meetings where the Holy Spirit is moving powerfully. And nothing seems to change for her. And it frustrates her. And then, potentially, to make matters worse, I go and write a book about hearing God speak. About meeting God in your imagination. And a really interesting thing happened. Recently, my wife Denise went out to Rangiora, where her mum lives, and her brother was down visiting as well. And they got to chatting, and her brother was saying that he can't see pictures in his imagination. And her mum said, well, I can't see pictures in my imagination either. And so Denise said, neither can I. And apparently there is something called aphantasia, which about 1 to 3% of the population have, and they are incapable of seeing pictures in their mind. So Denise seems to be one of those people. And so it's no wonder trying to see God or have God speak to her in her imagination is such a problem for her. And some of the things that she's been thinking, I wish I could have that experience. You know, there is potentially an issue there which prevents her from doing that because it's the way that she's been designed and wired. But to her credit, Denise keeps pushing through. She keeps going after God, trying for that more. And when she actually stops and thinks about it, God does speak to her actually quite a bit. One of those times was when we were dating and we were talking about getting married, and Denise is really faithful in wanting to follow God in all that she does. So she wanted to make sure that I was the right guy for her to marry. And so she said, God, I want you to make certain that this is what you want for us. So I want you to reveal a verse to me that will confirm to me that I'm to marry Robert, and then I want you to reveal the same verse to him. And so God reveals a verse to her, and she comes around and says, okay, here's the deal. God's shown me a verse about that for us getting married, and if we are to get married, then he's got to reveal the same verse to you. And I said, how many guesses can I have? She said, one. I said, how long have I got? She said, oh, no pressure, tomorrow's fine. And I Googled this morning, there's 31,200 odd verses in the Bible. So I was pretty keen on marrying Denise. So I started praying fairly fervently, and the next day we came together and I nervously said, well, this is the verse that I think God has shown me. And it was the same verse that God has shown Denise, which was awesome. And we didn't tell anyone else that, but on the day that we got married, the pastor preached from exactly that same verse. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Denise does hear God speak. So I was publishing my book, and my publisher talked to me about when you're writing the book, because I think I put a little bit about that story in there. Don't put the verse in there because it will distract people from what you're really trying to say. So where did I get to? Sorry about that. More recently, Denise went on a course that one of my friends runs at church, Dr. Simon Dodge, and he's really passionate about a tool called soap, which I'll talk about later on how we use soap. And so Denise went there, and as part of that, he had a Bible reading plan called the E100. Some of you may have come across that before. And she started using soap, which is each day she'd read the Bible based on the soap principle. And she found that God was talking to her. In fact, almost every day she comes up and she comes to me when we're talking and says, "Look what God said to me today." And it's finding a tool that works for her. Let me give you an example of how that worked for her. So when we got married, Denise was in hematology. She was working in a laboratory doing blood. And then we got ourselves into a financial position so that when we were having kids, she didn't have to work. The kids all got to school age, and Denise said, "Well, I'm getting bored, so I'm going to go out and get a job." She didn't want to get back into working with blood, so she went into childcare. So for many years, she was working in childcare, and she got over it, as people do. And so year before last, she said, "You know, there is a free study scheme the government runs. You can have a year's free study. I wonder if I'm eligible." So she went and checked it out, and she was. She said, "I think I will go and do a year's study." And so she went, and last year she went and studied beauty therapy. Now, from a male perspective, I always thought the people who studied beauty therapy were ones who didn't really want to do anything academic. And then Denise started the study, and it is way academic. So she's there with all these late teens, early 20s who know how to study. She's trying to get back into that role, and they have to learn every bone in the body. They have to learn all sorts of skin things. There's a lot that they need to know. And so soon after she's learning, I said, "Look, I really have to apologize about my attitude here. This, I had a completely wrong perspective about beauty therapists." And so she finished the course. She got a job before she... before the year ended. But Denise loves ceremony. You know, she would be really disappointed if any of our kids decided to get married and not have a wedding. She loves ceremony. And so as she's come to the course, end of the course, the thing that she was really looking forward to was the graduation ceremony early the next year. That was, she didn't really care about anything else. She didn't actually care that she'd got a job. She didn't really care that there was a certificate saying that she'd passed. She wanted the ceremony. We've got photos on our piano of our two girls who graduated in their graduation gowns there. She wants her picture on that piano. And the ceremony was going to be in April of this year. The graduation. And, of course, it got cancelled. And Denise was gutted. So she went to God about it. And she said, "God, I am so disappointed. This is what I really wanted to happen, is go through this graduation ceremony." And that day, she happened to be reading from Exodus chapter 14, where it says, "But Moses told the people, 'Don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm.'" And she felt God say to her as she's reading that, "You don't have to do a thing. I've got this." So, and she came and shared that with me, and she says, "You know, I believe that God's got this in control. I don't have to do a thing. I'm not going to worry about it." And then during the lockdown, her certificate came in and said, "As requested, here's your certificate with your for your graduation, etc." And she said, "No, I don't accept that this is all I'm having. I'm still believing that God promised me a ceremony." And then 2 weeks ago, she gets an email saying that they are now going to run a graduation ceremony in October of this year that she is welcome to be part of, which she was just so pleased, and she didn't have to do a thing. And the other really cool thing is that this is on a Friday, and on the Saturday is our son's 21st birthday, and our girls already had flights coming down on the Thursday night, so they will be in Christchurch on the Friday for the graduation. You see, Denise has come across a tool that is really helping her hear God speak. And we are all unique. God made each of us differently, and the reason I share Denise's story is to emphasize this point. Now, Denise was frustrated because she wasn't experiencing God the way other people were. But once she found out what works for her in her experiencing God and hearing Him speak, she was away. And not only that, is she hearing God speak as she does so each day, is actually starting now to open up other ways where she's hearing God speak. Now, often as you start to open up a door, you're able to then step into more. But what works for Denise is different to how I hear God speak. And what works for me may be different to what works for you, because we are all unique. And if you're struggling to hear God speak regularly and frequently, let me encourage you, keep going after it. It may be that you just have not discovered your way yet. And, you know, in brief, I wrote the book on sanctified imagination, involving imagining yourself somewhere, and it could be like a favorite place, and imagining Jesus is with you, and then giving Jesus permission to take control of your imagination and ask Him what He wants to say to you. And that has worked powerfully for me, and it's worked powerfully for many people that I minister to. On a recent occasion, I was... In my imagination, I was in heaven. Heaven's a big place, right? There's no limits in heaven. There's no ends. So what that means is that, this is not actually part of the story as such, but what that actually means, I don't know whether you've ever thought of this, that when we get to heaven, we can continue to be creative forever and see new things actually occurring in heaven, because there's no end. This is my personal belief. You know, when God made Adam and Eve, He put them in a garden called Eden, and the rest of the planet was to be subdued by Adam and Eve. It was to be the kingdom of God, represented by the Garden of Eden, was to be extended the rest of the planet. So Adam and Eve and their generations, that was God's plan for them before the fall. Heaven can be the same, where, you know, there is so much that's already there, but when we get there, we get to be creative, we get to extend, we get to come up with new things. It's limitless. So we won't be bored in heaven, if you're worried about that. But anyway, so what is in my imagination, I was with Jesus in heaven, and we're walking down this path. There's lots of foliage along the edge of the path. It was absolutely beautiful. Next thing, this dog runs across in front of us. And I said, "So Lord, there are animals in heaven?" Well, I wasn't sure on the theology of that. And Jesus said to me, "Wherever my spirit is, there must be life." And then the imagination thing stopped. And that's what it, so whether there are animals in heaven or not, I still can't 100% say. But the key thing was that God just wanted to speak into me, saying that wherever His spirit is, there must be life. So, and you can take that on board. Wherever the Holy Spirit is working in you, through you, and around you, there must be life taking place. This morning, I want to share another way that I found really helpful in hearing God speak. And this also works really well for me if I'm ministering to someone. And it's worked really well for me when I'm going through stressful situations in my business. And this tool, it's so simple, it's just grabbing a thought. Grabbing a thought. You see, if we believe God is speaking to us regularly and frequently, and His Holy Spirit lives inside of us, then a lot of what is going through our head will be from God. Does that make sense? So when I'm concerned about something, or when I'm ministering to someone, and I bring it to God, I believe that my first thoughts are actually going to be God thoughts. Let's have a look at a scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 11. "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." Isn't that a great promise? But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. What has God done? He reveals. Who's He doing that for? Us. God reveals things to us by His Spirit. Where does revelation take place? In the Spirit, in the mind. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand, which takes place here, doesn't it? What God has freely given us. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. If you're a believer here this morning and the Holy Spirit is in you, then he is developing the mind of Christ in you. He's working on your beliefs. He's shifting so that you start thinking like Jesus, so you can see the world around you transform. And if the Holy Spirit is in you, then the thoughts that you have running through here will often be God's thoughts. You know, you can be praying. Perhaps you've been like this. You'll be saying, okay, I'm going to spend some time praying and talking to God. And you start there and the first minute goes well and you've got your list and you're starting to go through your list of things. The next thing your mind wanders over about, I wonder what Janie's doing. Or, sorry, am I the only one who has that problem? Do you think it could be that God wants you to actually just pray about that? So we get frustrated because it's taking us off our plan of what we were going to pray through. But maybe if we just allowed our mind to go there and we say, well, actually, my mind's gone there. Let's talk to God about it. Maybe he's got something to say about that. Because we have the mind of Christ. We have God thoughts going through here. We can grab them. And often if I'm ministering to someone, I don't do this all the time, but often if I am, I won't actually ask them what they've come for prayer for or for ministry for. I just say, well, let's wait on the Holy Spirit and invite him to come and see what he's got to say. And there's a cool verse in Isaiah 40:31, which most of you will know, which says, but those who hope, other versions say, or wait in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And as I'm praying that when people come for ministry, and I'm allowing hope to rise as we wait on the Lord, both in them and in me, I capture the thought that comes into my head by faith and normally find it lines up with the need of the person who came forward for prayer. Sometimes it has nothing to do with what they actually came forward for. But when we've actually prayed that through, they say, actually, that's what I really needed. The Holy Spirit is with us. And when we're wanting God to speak, often I think we want God to speak direction to us, don't we? We want God to speak into our circumstances. We want God to solve the problems that we've got going on in our life. Normally I find that God speaks character and comfort. At least that's been my experience. And I think the reason for that is we don't take our circumstances with us. We take our character with us to heaven, don't we? So God is far more concerned about our character than he is about our circumstances. In fact, he loves using our circumstances to help grow our character. Paul said, you know, he calls it a successful business. That depends which month we're in, probably. But over the last 12 months, we have been in really tight cash flow situations for lots of reasons. I don't need to go into business for explaining that. But my brother and I had got to the end of our own bank balances, injecting money back into the business because of the tight cash flow to keep things working through. And situations like that drive you to prayer, don't they? And so I was saying, God, you need to help me out of this situation. You need to show me what to do. You need to help me make the right decision so that we can get out of this. And whether I was going to God in my imagination and seeing what he's saying to me, whether I was grabbing thoughts, whether I was reading the Bible and having God speak to me, I was getting the same message. You can trust me. I said, God, how does that solve my problem? And he would say, you can trust me. And what God was wanting to do was grow my character in trusting him. And then COVID lockdown hit. Now we had no cash reserves, and we're hitting a time when income opportunities or people paying bills and all those sorts of things just evaporate away. And I thought, God, you said trust me. So this would be a really good time for trust to actually start working now. We came out of lockdown about 200K better off in cash flow through lots of things. And largely, I didn't have to do a thing. God was faithful. And I had no idea how that was going to happen. But God answered, and he proved himself to be faithful. And he was working on my character, saying, you can trust me, Robert. Now, Jesus will choose to talk to us about our character over our circumstances any day. But Jesus wants every one of us to reach our potential. He wants us to understand our identity. He wants us to understand who we are in Christ. He wants us to shift our beliefs so that we start believing like Jesus. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, now, he was a man who believed a lie. You can read it in this story. He says on a couple of occasions that he was the only one left who could save the nation of Israel, and if he gets killed, that's it. The hope for the nation is completely gone. And Jezebel, the queen at the time, is threatening to kill him. So he gets depressed. He is full of fear because he's believing that lie. There's a whole journey that he takes, and he gets to a cave where he's in there. And the small, still voice of the Lord speaks to him and transforms him. Now, for Elijah, the circumstance that he went into the cave with was exactly the same as the circumstance that he came out of the cave with. But God spoke to him and revealed to him that things were 7,000 times better than he thought. And that word of God transformed him. It broke the lie that he had in his head, and God revealed truth to him. And he went into that cave in fear, and he came out of that cave in faith and confidence in God. And that's why we need to have God speaking to us regularly and frequently, because he deals with the fears, the lies, the things that we've got going on in our minds, which limit our future, and we become people of identity and people of faith are actually able to step into everything that God has for us. Do you agree? Yeah? Yeah. You're very quiet. Okay. In a moment, I'd like us to give you an opportunity to try a couple of exercises where you can actually have God speak to you. Before we do that, just a couple of little things, you know, because we are human, aren't we? So there's lots of other things that are going around in our minds as well as God speaking. So how do we know the difference between when it's because we've had just some bad food or it's God speaking? And three really quick things which can help us. First of all, God will never contradict his scripture with anything he reveals to us. So having a good understanding of the Bible is very important. This is why it's so important to read the Bible regularly, and not just read it, but study it. Secondly, God will always speak hope. So if you've got a thought going on here which is condemning and dragging you down and saying that you're no good or anything like that, that is not God. God always speaks hope. He's the God of all hope. So God will always speak hope to you. And thirdly, God works within the leadership structure that we are a part of. And without going into the theology of this, you can see this principle right through Scripture. This means that your leadership become a great safety net as well. Often our leaders can bring wisdom or process into a place that keeps us safe. So having leaders that we're submitted to and that we trust is really important as well, that we can run things by if we're not sure. And even if we are confident that it's God spoken to us and the leadership takes a different view on that, and my experience has been that submitting to the leadership is still the best choice, because God just has a way of working it out, because it's a godly principle. We talked about that at the men's group yesterday. So, who would like God to speak to them this morning? Okay, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to explain soap to you, and I'm going to explain sanctified imagination to you. And you can choose which one you want to try, or you could try them both. We're going to have a little bit of instrumental music in the background so that it just creates an atmosphere, and it just helps people to have, in some ways, a little bit of privacy in their thinking what they're hearing God speak. So first of all, let's explain soap. So we're going to have Psalm 23 up on the screen very shortly. And you can just read that. It's a very familiar psalm. And what you want to be doing is asking God, what do you want to speak to me out of the psalm? So soap, the S stands for scripture. So that's reading a scripture. And as you're going through that, you're asking God, what out of this scripture do you want to speak to me from? And you go to that, and when you find a scripture that just sticks out to you, and it, again, you just grab the thought. So there might be one line that you say, actually, I think I'm going to focus on that today. I think that's what God wants for me today. And then you look at the observation. What is the scripture saying? What is its context if you wanted to do that? What is this scripture actually meaning? What do the words say here? And you start thinking about what is the observation from the scripture. Then you ask Jesus, okay, Lord, how does this actually apply to me? What's the application? How are you wanting to apply this to my life today? And then prayer is that you actually just pray that into being. So if you, when we talked about Denise before with the situation with her graduation, she wrote down a prayer and she said, Jesus, I'm sorry that I didn't come to you and trust you on this earlier, but I want to say that I'm trusting you now, and I believe that you're going to actually sort this graduation situation out, and I put my trust in you. And it's as simple as that. So we actually, it's about a 5-week course we run. Dr. Simon Dodge runs at our church on doing soap. So there's a lot more that you can explore and do in there, but that's it in brief. Sanctifying imagination is something which you basically, God gave us our imagination. It's not an evil thing. He gave us it for being able to see and use. So we can go into our imagination and quite easily imagine all sorts of things. And I encourage people when they're starting, and you'll find lots of exercises in my book that you can use. But just go to a favorite place in your imagination, one that you can visualize and see yourself there, and then you imagine Jesus in that place with you. And then you can just say, Jesus, what do you want to do? What do you want to say to me? Or if you've got something specific you want to talk to him about it in your imagination, and just see what he says back, and you may be amazed at what you hear. Any questions? Cool. Okay, so I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come, and for that you will hear God speak. And our wonderful team at the back is going to play a little bit of music, and they're going to put the scripture up there, and you can choose which way you want to go, and then we'll come back and talk about some ministry after that. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're the one who actually reveals to us the mind of Christ. You reveal to us the deep things of God. You reveal to us what God is wanting to say to us. And as we come before you this morning, we know that you're wanting to speak to us. Jesus, we know that you're wanting to say things to us. So we're tuning into you, and we're looking forward expectantly to what you're wanting to say. Speak to us, Lord. Amen. Who had God speak to them? Who reckoned it was pretty cool? Yeah. Awesome. So good. Look, I encourage you, keep pursuing. If you didn't experience God speaking to you, that doesn't mean to say that he won't. It just means that you need to keep searching and finding the way that God talks to you. But you know, as we finish here today, and perhaps the band can come up, I want to give an opportunity for ministry. You know, I started this morning by saying that, sharing a word that, you know, God is bringing a real breakthrough to this church, or taking it into a season of breakthrough. And if you're going to be a church of breakthrough, your breakthrough needs to start in our hearts. It needs to start in who we are. It needs to start in our identity. And there's some of us here who have limitations around our lives that have been there for years, limiting you from your future and the destiny that God has for you, from understanding who you truly are in Christ. You've been believing lies for a long time, and God wants to see breakthrough occurring in your life. So if that speaks to you, or if anything else that's been shared this morning that speaks to you, I would love an opportunity to minister to you, and I'm sure there is a team here who can also help do that. So as the band's playing, can I encourage you, if you want to actually experience some breakthrough or have God do something else for you, please feel free to come forward and receive some ministry.